Down Syndrome Queensland are the peak body for intellectual disability in Queensland. We drive change, support inclusion, and are on a quest for equality so that people with intellectual disabilities can take their rightful place as valuable members of the community. Down Syndrome Queensland also provides practical and emotional support, comfort, and opportunities to people with intellectual disability, their families, and support networks, particularly in regional areas. DSQ supports an inclusive environment for people with an intellectual disability, which allows them to live their best lives. We believe it is important to respect the rights of parents to choose the development path that is best for their loved one. DSQ is here to support them along the way. To find out more about how you can help, to volunteer or to support the work of Down Syndrome Queensland, go to downsyndrome.org.au/QLD.
We acknowledge the First Nations people as the traditional custodians of the land we are on today. We acknowledge and pay respect to all elders past, present and emerging.
The Now and the Future podcast is an exciting way of sharing members' stories of opportunities, challenges, and provide support and expert advice for Down Syndrome community.
Down Syndrome Queensland's vision is to support, advocate for, empower people with Down Syndrome to take their rightful places as valuable and contributing members of their community, both now and into the future.
On today's episode of the Now and the Future podcast, we're chatting with Brianna Carrs, the Business and Community Officer for the Your Caring Way program. This is a program run by Carers Queensland that aims to support unpaid carers who want to rejoin the workforce, pursue a new career, study, or get volunteer experience. Across Australia, it is estimated that there are 2.7 million people providing unpaid care for a family member or friend. These people can be mothers, fathers, children, sisters, brothers, partners, relatives, and friends, but up to 79% of these people don't identify as a carer at all. Being a carer can bring some unique challenges to your role as an employee, and today we are chatting about this and how the Your Caring Way program can help you gain employment and skills that respect your caring responsibilities. Thank you, Brianna, for joining us today.
No, thank you guys so much for inviting me. I'm really excited to record this podcast with you.
Thank you. I wanted to start today by having a chat about what a carer is, because the statistic of 79% of people not even realising that they are a carer is quite staggering.
Yeah, that's correct. So we know that 1 in 9 people in Australia are carers. Most of the time, carers don't realise they are carers, but if you provide unpaid care and support to a family member or friend who have a disability, mental illness, chronic condition, terminal illness, drug and alcohol issues, or who are frail aged, you are actually a carer. Carers make up nearly 11% of the Australian population, but 7 out of 10 primary carers are women. And the average age of a primary carer is 54. So 1/3 of primary carers provide 40 hours or more of unpaid care per week. Each year, carers contribute to an estimate $77.9 billion of unpaid labour to the Australian economy, the equivalent of 2.2 billion hours of unpaid care a year. Carers are twice as likely to be underemployed compared to other Australians. 44.8% of carers in the workforce are doing fewer hours than desired, compared to 24% of the Australian workforce. Additionally, carers are 1.7 times more likely to experience significant financial stress compared to other Australians. And we know that carers invest a lot of time in supporting their loved ones, which can impact on their ability to work. This could mean reducing hours or pausing work while they are caring.
Brianna, those statistics that you mentioned in that last question, that they're quite staggering, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite interesting to see the challenges that carers face.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think are some of the benefits to carers returning to work or study?
For carers wishing to pursue their vocational goals, there's many benefits to consider. Opportunities to participate in employment and further education. You can expect that to lead to several benefits for the families and carers of people with a disability, including greater financial security, reduced social isolation, higher levels of self-esteem and improved well-being. It also provides carers with the opportunity to develop a sense of identity outside of their caring role.
Mm-hmm. That's an important one, I think. Being a carer would give you a huge sense of identity in itself, but potentially for yourself, you know, being able to be employed or return to study would give you that whole new level of self-esteem. Yeah. and self-identity. And I think we can all benefit from some extra financial stability, hey, in these
especially in this economy. Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think as well, Brianna, we find that a lot of our carers are in caring roles for quite a long period of time. So could you maybe talk to us about some of those unique challenges that you've seen for carers wanting to maybe rejoin the workforce or hoping to study to or maybe do some volunteering work?
Yeah, absolutely. So our team specifically focuses on supporting carers bridge those gaps in their resumes. You know, we know the unique challenges they face and we adapt our services to suit their needs. So this may include looking for flexible work and study arrangements, finding care-friendly work environments, or starting up a business. We have many options and a wide network of employers and organisations we connect with to help make carers' goals a reality.
So, Brianna, how does Your Caring Way work with carers to build up their confidence and pave the way for carers to return to their vocational goals?
Yeah, so when a carer comes through to our program, you know, the first thing we do is match them with a vocational support planner. And we really sit down and get to know them, you know, holistically. We look at where they've been in the past when it comes to their employment journey, you know, what's kind of happened in the middle with their caring responsibilities and moving forward, how we can create a bridge from where they were the last time they were on their vocational journey to where they are now. And what we do is we sit down and provide one-on-one mentoring with them, which is where we break down their barriers and we have a look at solutions. We have a look at potentially, you know, providing further education to them to upskill them in certain areas that they may need that support in. But also we provide a lot of support around identifying their transferable skills from their caring responsibility. So that we can actually help them create an idea of, you know, the skills that they can offer the workplace. So we sit down with them and we strategize with them about what kind of roles that their transferable skills from being a carer would be really suitable for. And then we help them create a journey or a plan of how they're actually going to achieve, you know, their vocational outcome, whether that's returning to the workforce, further education or volunteering opportunities, or they may even want to start their own company or business.
That idea of transferable skills is an important one and one that isn't always immediately obvious to job seekers. Can you give us an example of what a transferable skill might be for a carer?
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably some of the most amazing transferable skills that a lot of carers have when it comes to, transferring over into skills that would be really great in a workplace are, time management, really great time management skills. Empathy is also another really great transferable skills that carers can actually bring to the workforce. Reliability, flexibility, There's a lot of amazing skills that carers do have that are in actually quite high demand for workplaces.
And I guess a lot of the carers now too, particularly if their son or daughter or their family member or whoever it might be is an NDIS participant, there's quite a lot of knowledge and skills that come with that as well. So whether that be, you know, employing support workers or, you know, just having knowledge of how a plan can be interpreted, like all of those things can be really valuable skills, which someone else may need to train up in, but they might be able to use those skills or that knowledge to their benefit. So whether they be, you know, going on to sort of pursue work in that field as a support coordinator or, you know, working in a disability organisation, if that's something that they want to do, they kind of need that external person to say, look, you've done all of this for so long. Yeah. Definitely use that as, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of that carers find great success working alongside participants in the NDIS or working alongside organisations in the NDIS industry because they have so many great transferable skills. And you're right, you know, plan management, support coordination, you know, support work and personal care workers is a really great example of the transferable skills that a carer can take from their own experience and transfer that to paid employment.
When going from a caring role to pursuing vocational goals, Brianna, is there anything that you guys do to help carers to almost let go of that caring responsibility? Because it must be a really emotional side to letting go of some of that responsibility that a carer often holds quite close and for them to realise that it's okay to pursue some of those vocational goals.
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounds like a little bit of carer's guilt that you're kind of touching on there. And it is something that some of our participants have experienced in the past. It is hard to kind of step away from your loved one and say, okay, well, now I'm going to try and work on, you know, some of my personal goals, and paid employment may be one of them. What we do here at Your Caring Way program is we partner closely with the Carers Queensland health and wellbeing team. And if we do identify or notice that a carer is struggling with, you know, those kind of carers guilt or those kind of thoughts and feelings, we are able to refer our carers onto our health and wellbeing team who kind of tackle those issues that our program doesn't cover. So, you know, it's more about that the mental side and how to kind of overcome those struggles and, you know, how to take a step back and just say, you know, I really can put myself first. It's okay. I'm not affecting my loved one, you know, by focusing on myself. The care is still there. It's just a different support person now. And we also partner with the Care Gateway as well that provide counselling services if we do identify that a carer is really struggling and needs additional support to kind of break down those mental barriers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. It's good to know that all of these things exist to sort of support the carer holistically, particularly when they are looking to go back into the workforce.
Yeah, absolutely.
We would love to hear more about the Your Caring Way program, and you've already filled us in on some parts of it, Brianna, but we'd like to learn more about how you guys as a program assist carers wanting to return to some kind of work, study or volunteering, whatever their goal might be.
Your Caring Way program is an innovative carer-only program that provides free support and training options for carers wishing to pursue their own vocational goals. Since launching in 2020, we have helped hundreds of carers re-enter the workforce, pursue new careers, start a business, which is really exciting, which is one of my favourite initiatives of the program, study or even get volunteer experience. What sets us apart is our program is completely free to carers. And carers are at the heart of what we do. We're committed to being there for our carers from start to finish. Once a carer joins our program, they'll be assigned a vocational support planner who will provide them with ongoing and individualized support to ensure they are connected to in-house training courses and opportunities that may lead to employment. We create a personalized support plan tailored to the carer's needs to help them achieve their goals sooner. We want our participants to feel empowered and know that they are on their way to success when they are in our Your Caring Way program.
That's fantastic. Brianna, you mentioned that, Your Caring Way program, supports carers from sort of start to finish. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about what that might look like? So when you say start, is it, working with them in terms of their resume and then, towards the end of once they maybe have a job, do you sort of stay connected in with that person just in case they might need additional support, or what would that kind of look like in that sort of process? I mean, it's going to differ for a lot of people, but...
There's four different tracks that a carer can come into our program and kind of participate in. But what usually happens is we'll receive the referral and straight away we'll be connecting with, our carers, engaging with them to see if this program really, really meets their needs, whether it's suitable for them. And from there, we then connect them with the planner. And that's where we really use that time to discover what their vocational goals are, whether they're looking for employment, whether they want to pursue further education, or whether they want to create their own business. In that session is where we'll kind of unpack their journey and where they are and what direction they want to head off into. From there, we have our own in-house RTO where we'll connect them with different courses that will really help to build their capacity. So we have a look at their resume and cover letter in our accredited unit RTO, and a lot of carers come through not really having a resume, let's just say 20, 30 years, and kind of looking at how do I build one. How do I kind of bridge that gap and communicate that gap to potential employers? We also have interview and communication in the workplace accredited units, and we also have career planning and strategizing, what's next for me and how do I kind of progress from where I am. And then from there, we either place them in employment, we connect them with an RTO, or we refer them through to our self-employment program, which is where they'll be then connected with a business mentor who will then set them up for, success in their own business. And then we stay with them for 12 months after we've placed them, and we'll do monthly regular check-ins where we'll be contacting carers just to see if there's any other supports that we can provide them with.
What an incredible program, Brianna, and it's all for free as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is amazing.
We've talked a lot about carers, but let's switch our focus a little bit to employers. What are the benefits to employers who are carer friendly?
Yeah, well, there's so many benefits to employers, and it just makes sense for an employer to be hiring carers. Creating a carer-friendly workplace is a good employment practice as well. And research shows that carer-friendly workplaces benefit from improved staff retention, reduced recruitment and training costs, reduced stress and sick leave, and improved staff morale and engagement. Increased productivity. By providing real options to balance work and care, workplaces can access a larger pool of diverse employees with a wide range of skills and experiences. Plus, care-friendly workplaces reduce stress and also staff days off, while increasing employer engagement, loyalty, and productivity at work. We know that everyone at some point in their life will either be a carer or need care. So it makes sense for employers to be responsive to the changing needs of their workforce while engaging with an incredible community of prospective employees that have so much to offer.
Thank you, Brianna. It sounds like there are so many benefits to employers to making it a more carer-friendly workplace. Can you tell us a little bit about how you actually assist employers to become more carer-friendly?
Yes, so at Your Caring Way, we engage with employers and their staff to develop and implement proactive strategies to supporting carers. We provide training and education on topics like who are carers, issues impacting carers, and how to support staff who are carers. We also provide evidence-based resources on how to become a carer-friendly workplace, including simple and achievable steps you can take and ongoing support. Whether our employees prefer phone, online, or face-to-face contact, we always make ourselves available to support them.
It's really amazing, Brianna, to hear that you also support the employers, not just the employees, because I think sometimes it can be a little bit tricky to stand up for yourself in that way as well. Sometimes knowing that that background work has already been done and that your employer is already aware of some of the challenges you might be facing can be a really beneficial thing for people in a position where they feel unsupported potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
So, Brianna, what is the best way for someone who's listening to this podcast and thinking, yes, I'd like to get in touch, whether they be a carer or potentially an employer, how can they get in touch with your project?
So the best way to get in contact with us at Your Caring Way is probably via our website, yourcaringway.com.au. So that's Y-O-U-R. carringway.com.au, or you can call us on our number 1300 585 636, or if you'd like to drop us an email at info@yourcaringway.com.au.
Wonderful, and we can put the details on how people can get in touch with you in the show notes as well.
Awesome, thank you so much.
So thank you, Brianna, for coming on our podcast today and telling us about the Your Caring Way program. It's been great to hear how you guys support carers, but also how you support employers who would like to become more carer friendly, which is important for all employers. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it so much.
No. Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At the Now in the Future podcast, we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions as a way of continuing to provide essential information for the community. If you have a question or would like any more information on any of our episodes or have any ideas for future episodes, simply send us an email to engagement@downsyndromeqld.org.au. That's engagement@downsyndromeqld.org.au. And we'll do our best to provide you with the information you require in one of our upcoming episodes. The Now in the Future podcast aims to support, advocate for, and empower people with Down syndrome both now and into the future.
You have been listening to the Now and the Future podcast. For more information about this episode and many other topics relate to Down syndrome,
please visit the Down Syndrome Queensland website at downsyndrome.org.au/QLD.
Down Syndrome Queensland, supporting people with Down syndrome now and into the future.